Welcome to month 3, week 1 of the School of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, we're seeing this over and over. The Holy Spirit is our constant abiding companion. And in this School of the Holy Spirit, we want to come to a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We also want to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, we spent 7 weeks preparing, and last week we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, I just want to say congratulations to you, and I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to every day to ask the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. We want a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit every day. And if you receive the gift of tongues, I want to encourage you just to use it, use it, use it. Maybe you've just received just a few words. Don't worry about it. You know what? Don't babies just have a few words? And those few words, as that baby persists, it grows into a language. And if you've not received the gift of tongues yet, or the gift of prophecy, I want to encourage you just to keep opening up your heart. And maybe when you're alone in the shower or driving down the road, just open up your mouth and let the Holy Spirit take over. Now, to your mind, it's not going to make sense. Don't worry about it. Just go with it. Go with it. We're also in the School of the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to learn how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're also going to learn how to live a life, our life in the Holy Spirit through personal and communal prayer. And lastly, we're going to learn how to live in the presence and the power of God. Our attention now in the school is going to turn to what's called the manifestations or the charisms, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and how we can grow in them. Now, our focus scripture for this week is 1 Corinthians 12:7. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this: Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Each one of us, as a member of the body of Christ, has received one of the charisms of the Holy Spirit, or maybe many of the charisms of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to take that personal. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, to you, whoever you are, there is a charism of the Holy Spirit that is just for you, for the common good. I wonder what manifestation of the Holy Spirit that you've received. I wonder what gift of the Holy Spirit you've received. But first, let's take a look at what are these 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. There are 9 of them that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10. 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10 says this: To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. Okay, let's go back and take a look at that list. Number one, there's the word of wisdom, or maybe your translation says message or utterance of wisdom. Number two, there's the word of knowledge, or again, message or utterance. Number three, there's faith. Number four, gifts of healing. Number five, miraculous powers, or maybe yours is translated miracles. Number six, prophecy. Number seven, distinguishing between spirits, or discernment. Number eight, speaking in tongues. And number nine, interpretation of tongues. These 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit are also called charisms. And the word charism is a Greek word, and it means gifts. That's what it means. It is from the word charism that we get the term the charismatic renewal. The mission of the charismatic renewal is to proclaim and invite believers to the Lordship of Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit might minister to the church through these 9 gifts. That's what the charismatic renewal is about. It's the renewing of Pentecost and the gifts that come from Pentecost. In paragraph 799 and 801 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church approves and encourages the use of the charisms. These 9 charisms, the Church approves and encourages in paragraph 799 to paragraph 801 in the Catechism. Let me read to you from the Catechism. Whether extraordinary or simple and humble, charisms are graces of the Holy Spirit, which directly or indirectly benefit the Church, ordered as they are to her building up, to the good of men and to the needs of the world. Paragraph 800 now. Charisms are to be accepted with gratitude by the person who receives them and by all members of the Church as well. They are wonderfully rich graces for apostolic vitality and for the holiness of the entire body of Christ, provided they are genuine gifts of the Holy Spirit and are used in full conformity with authentic promptings of this same Spirit. That is, in keeping with charity, the true measure of all charisms. Paragraph 801. It is in this sense that discernment of charisms is always necessary. No charism is exempt from being referred and submitted to the Church's shepherds. Quote, their office is not indeed to extinguish the Spirit, but to test all things and to hold fast to what is good. Close quote. So that all the diverse and complementary charisms work together for the common good. Okay, the Catechism teaches that the charisms, number one, benefit the Church, number two, build up the Church, number three, are for the good of men, and number four, are for the needs of the world. The Church, through the Catechism, also teaches that the charisms should be accepted with gratitude by the person who receives them, and with gratitude from all members of the Church. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. Oh, boy. There's been times where I've had experiences when I've been at church, and there's been people who have not liked the exercise of the charisms. And that's too bad, because, you know, I guess they're more Catholic than the Pope or something than that. Because the Church right here clearly teaches that we're to have gratitude when somebody begins to pray in tongues, or when there's healing or prophecy. We're to have gratitude. Why? Because when these manifestations occur, they're outward evidences that the Holy Spirit is present. Now, why wouldn't we be grateful that the Holy Spirit is present? They also disclose the Holy Spirit's love. Why wouldn't we be grateful when the Holy Spirit is loving someone? They reveal that the Spirit's truth and guidance. And they clearly display the Holy Spirit's power. And they actively exhibit that the Church is alive and being moved by the Holy Spirit. How could our hearts not but be filled with gratitude when we witness these charisms of the Holy Spirit? Lastly, the Church teaches that the gifts must be authentic, that they really must be a movement of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says this, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Verse 21, test everything. Hold on to the good. St. Paul also teaches in 1 Corinthians 12:1 that we should not be aware or ignorant of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, he says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. So we're supposed to know what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. Now, let me stop here and say, Paul's not talking about faith, hope, and love. He's not talking about fear of the Lord, piety, counsel, wisdom, fortitude, and knowledge, understanding. He is talking about these nine manifestations. Remember, in 1 Corinthians 12:1, he says we're supposed to know them. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 11, he goes on to enumerate nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul states that we should strive eagerly for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is what he says. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Do you know that term there, eagerly desire? Do you know what would be a valid translation for that? Covet. Covet. Okay, let's go back and read that again and put the word covet in there. Follow the way of love and covet gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. What do you know about coveting? What's the Bible saying about coveting? Thou shalt not covet, huh? You know what? This is the only place in the Bible where it tells you that you are to covet. And what are you supposed to covet? You're supposed to covet word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. You're supposed to covet those gifts of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul was one of the greatest teachers of our faith. And he directs us to desire, to long for, to covet these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you know, St. Paul also teaches that these gifts are to be used in an orderly way. And I think sometimes that's what people have a problem with, is there have been moments when the exercise of the gifts of the Holy Spirit have been out of order. And in 1 Corinthians 14:40, he says, "But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way." Yes, we should exercise the gifts in the Holy Spirit in a certain way, but we should not stifle the Holy Spirit, though. We read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul says, do not quench or stifle or put out the Spirit's fire. But we do want things to be done in order and propriety. Okay, let's now take a look at each one of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to start with the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is the gift of the Holy Spirit whereby one believer speaks into the life of another believer or into the community. And this believer gives practical wisdom from the Lord as to what to do and when to do it. It's just, this is practical wisdom. The wisdom, remember we talked about fear of the Lord, piety, counsel, wisdom, fortitude, knowledge, and understanding. That's the gift that you receive when the bishop imparts to you the Holy Spirit through confirmation. It's one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Word of wisdom and the gift of wisdom are different, and here's how they're different. Is that the gift of wisdom is for you so that you can know practically how to do God's will. The word of wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit whereby somebody in the community is speaking either to a person or to the community and saying, this is what how you practically do the will of God. Okay? So that's a word of wisdom. I remember years ago, a young girl came to me, and she came to our prayer meeting for prayer, and the Lord immediately put on my heart, I didn't even know her situation. He put on my heart her situation, and then what she was to do in that situation. That's a word of wisdom, okay? But that was coupled with a word of knowledge. And because I didn't know this girl, I didn't know why she was coming. And you know, a word of knowledge is the gift of the Holy Spirit, but whereby one believer speaks into the life of another believer, revealing something to that believer, so they could that they don't know in and of themselves. When you have a word of knowledge, you're speaking into the life of somebody, and in and of yourself, you don't know the facts. But the Holy Spirit shows you this. Okay. It sounds like this. This is what the word of wisdom sounds like. I believe that the Lord is showing me such and such concerning your life. Okay? There's a word of knowledge right there. You know, many times when I'm praying with people, the Lord will show me circumstances and situations that are going on in that person's life. Or the Lord will give me names of somebody that's in their life. The word of wisdom is knowing things about people that you couldn't know in and of yourself, that God is showing you things about them. He's giving you knowledge about their life. The next gift is the gift of faith. Faith is the gift of the Holy Spirit whereby a believer is inspired to know what the will of God is in a situation and that this believer commands it into being. Faith is a revelation whereby the believer does not ask God to do something. The believer knows what God wants to do and then commands it. Here's an example of what faith sounds like. In the name of Jesus, stand and walk. Now, the apostles did this in Acts chapter 3. There was a guy that was begging and he was lame. And Peter says, silver or gold, I don't have any silver or gold for you. But you know what? In the name of Jesus, stand and walk. And the guy got up and he walked. Now, that's the gift of faith. Peter didn't say, Father, please, in Jesus' name, could you heal this man? He didn't say that. He knew that God wanted to heal him, So he commanded it, and he spoke it, and it came to be. I remember years ago that there was a man that he had had cancer, and a part of his brain was cut out, hadn't moved his legs in 11 years. And I walked over him to pray over him, and the Lord said to me, command the healing. So I got over to him, and I said, in the name of Jesus, stand. This man hadn't moved his legs in 11 years, and he shot right up. He stood right up. See, God revealed to me what he wanted to do, and I had to have faith. Will I trust God that this is the truth? That's where the faith comes in. And the healing was commanded, and that man walked for years to the day he died. Praise be Jesus. The next gift is the gifts of healing. Notice that it's the gifts of healing, not the gift of healing. The Lord wants to heal every part of our being, body, mind, and spirit. Healing is fixing what is broken. Healing the body is no big mystery, is it? It's just healing the body. Healing the mind is healing the memories and the emotions that come from those memories. And healing the spirit is being delivered from demons and soul ties and generational curses. For example, I've got a wonderful brother, Ephron. And Ephron, he was 26 years old, deaf in 1 year since he was born. And we prayed with him, the church prayed with him, and he is hearing now out of a deaf ear. See, that's a physical healing. Now, there's an emotional healing. Somebody that's, I've prayed with so many women that have had abortions, and they've confessed it over and over and over, but their hearts are still broken, their emotions are broken from the abortion. And we've prayed, and Jesus has healed their heart. And then this third type of healing is the type of healing of being delivered from demons. I've prayed with people. I've seen demons come out of people. And it's been exciting. There are so many people that are just bound by demons. They're not possessed, but they are oppressed by demons. And one of the ways that God wants to heal them is to set them free of those. You know, a lot of times we talk about in our culture anymore, we talk about addictions. But I'm convinced a lot of times that actually most addictions are a demonic bondage. It's not just the person's self-will. It's that person is given permission for a demon to take hold of their life. And until that demon is dealt with, that person's not going to be set free. Okay, next one is miracles. Miracles are the power of God manifesting to bring about that which is currently not there by nature. I remember one time a lady, she was in need of $200. And I don't have time to go into the whole story, but we prayed. And there were, I'm telling you the truth, there were literally two $100 bills that manifested right before us in her purse. And we had emptied her purse and everything. So that's a miracle. The gift of prophecy. Prophecy is the gift whereby God speaks to a person or to the church through one of the believers. And when there's a prophecy, God is either encouraging, edifying, or exhorting. Prophecy sounds like this: I, the Lord, say this to you. It's in first person, is prophecy. Next gift of the Holy Spirit is discernment, or distinguishing between spirits. Now, there are three spirits that move in any situation: the human spirit, the evil spirit, and the spirit of God. And we as believers, we always want to make sure it's an authentic movement of the Holy Spirit. And this gift of discernment, people can tell what's really going on here. Is this just somebody getting carried away in their human emotions? Or is it an evil spirit? Or is it the Holy Spirit? And lastly, we've got two gifts. The speaking in tongues, that's the gift whereby the Holy Spirit inspires a prayer or a speech. I remember one time I heard a lady and she was praying in tongues. She was speaking in tongues, actually. And it was the Holy Spirit was speaking through her a prayer of a man in Malaysia. She was speaking in Malaysian. And then the Lord gave me the interpretation of that prayer. So speaking in tongues is somebody speaks something forward, and that always has to be interpreted. So those are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we need these gifts in our life so that we can demonstrate God's love. That we can say to people, you know what? God is present and He is here and the Lord loves you. Thank you for letting me share this message with you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.